are y'all doing today?
A little different today, isn't it? Amen? Well, you can. Anybody can say amen at any time, you know. Whatever, something blesses your heart, say something. It's like singing, or to sing, or say amen. I guess we're up and on. Yeah, all right, I say hello to the folks listening by way of YouTube. Glad to have you all with us today. I'd like to say hello to some folks that this is my first time that I publicly can say thank you to some folks from around the world that were prayed for me several months ago during a time when it was kind of tough. Brother Moses, I got word that Brother Moses and their church out there in India was praying. The Klein family in Franklin, Pennsylvania. I want to say thank you for praying for me. It was a blessing to know that it overwhelmed me to know that people around the world had prayed for me. And I thank you for it. And to give you folks an update, the kidney's fine. I went to a kidney function doctor the other day, and he said, my kidney's back to normal. It's doing great. It's doing what it's supposed to do. There's a couple of medicines. I was taking two blood pressure medicines. I'm only taking one now. One of them I can no longer take, and can no longer take ibuprofen and any kind of the NSAID medicines. I can take that no more. And then there was another pill I was taking for my arthritis. I can no longer take that anymore when I need it. But I asked him, well, what about food and drink or anything? He said, man, you can drink anything you want and you can eat anything you want. Oh, okay, that sounds real good. I have not gone back to the Coke. I've had a couple of Cokes, but haven't gone back to drinking that. I was drinking too many of those, so I'm done with a Coke deal. And but that means that I can go to Luby's and eat liver and onions if I want it. I can eat broccoli if I want it. And that's for you, Brother Larry. Amen. I'm glad to be here. I love this church. I love you people. Thank you. Thank you for all your prayers and the friends that I have here. Let's take our Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. This is our text. I'll refer back to our Bible reading that we read a few minutes ago in just a little bit. Matthew chapter 25, let's read down from verse 1 to verse 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I'm going to preach a message entitled, Is Your Lamp Trimmed? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for these dear folks that have come here and been faithful to be here, even when our preacher, pastor, is gone. And we do pray for our pastor and his wife that you'd give them rest and work in their hearts and in their lives and help Brother Larry and Phyllis to do the things that they need to do. But we ask your blessing right here today that you would speak to our hearts this message of trimming our lamps and being ready for what you have for us. We ask your blessing this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This text is referred to as a parable. A parable is a word picture of a biblical truth. And that's basically what this is. It tells a story, but it has an application, an illustration. Things that in this chapter here and these verses refer to will help us in our life to live a better life for the Lord. As we look at this, there's several words in here we want to take a minute to point out what they stand for. One of them, you'll see the word oil in this passage. Oil always represents the Holy Spirit. You'll see the word lamp. I believe in this passage here, that lamp is referring to the life that we live. You'll see the word vessel. Well, that's our body. You see the word trimmed, and that they, in verse 7, they trimmed their lamps. And there's a process to trimming a lamp. Well, let me get some stuff over here right quick, and I'll show you. Oh, I forgot one thing. Hold on. I better get... We want to be safe. We're going to be safe, right? Okay. I like to hunt. But the problem with hunting, there is an animal that is a pest that usually you have to deal with out there in the woods. So when I go to my deer stand, it's either early in the morning or when I leave the deer stand in the afternoon, it's already dark. When we have an animal out there in the woods that I don't want to mess with, I don't like them. We can get rid of all of them. It's called a hog. If you're a hunter and you know what I'm talking about. Well, I like to have a light that I can see where I'm going and I can see that hog ahead of time before I get there so I know how to react. So I usually wear some kind of a light. So I found this, and I used that for a little bit. And it also keeps my head warm, and that's nice when especially a cold like it was this morning. And it has a light on it, so I turn the light on there. But you know what? That ain't enough light. That ain't gonna work. So I got to go. I had to do something else. So I found me something else, and I got this headlight. Yeah. Anyway, that one. But this is a good light, and it's real bright. Oh, wrong button. There it goes. Oh yeah, here's one more. You can see me coming or going. But that light was all right, but it panned out, but it didn't show way out. So I found me one. Oh, you're going to love this one. You know what it makes me feel like? Yeah, you got it right. A rhinoceros, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that gets out there. But also, it's got a red light and a green light. Red light is for deer. Green light is for the hogs. They say they can't see it. So anyway, I use those to hunt with. But we're talking about a lamp. So I got a lamp. I went and bought a lamp. Now, I thought about the lamps like they had back in the Bible days. It wasn't a lamp like this. It was different. And I tried to find how how, because what they had was a bowl that had the oil in it, and they lit it. And I don't know how they trimmed that or what they had to do. So I have what I have here is an illustration that we can understand how to trim the light. This light has your vessel. This whole thing is a lamp, and then the light is right in there. And there's a wick in there, right there. You see it come sticking there, and so this one is kind of neato because let's see. Okay, now we got some fire going. Now, if it's not trimmed right, it's too high, do you see what's coming out? Smoke. It's not supposed to do that. So you have to cut it back. You trim this. There's four aspects to trimming the light. So you get it at the highest, brightest point where there's no smoke coming out. That's where it's trimmed right. But there's four parts to trimming. Now, I found this very interesting. When I, in that box when I got the lamp, was directions. Now, fellas, listen, I'm going to help you out. Always read directions. But we're men. We don't like to read directions, do we? We like to build it and put it together on our own, don't we? Forget the directions, though, you know. So what happens when you do it? I can tell you by experience, I find screws that I didn't put in there somewhere. They're missing because I didn't put them on there. And then I have to backtrack to find, I cannot tell you how many times I had to backtrack, take it apart so I could get all the screws in, and I eventually had to go back to the directions anyway. So it's best to read the directions from the start. So, because that way, your wife won't tell you, why didn't you read the directions? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, just about every man in the room. We've been there. But I found it interesting. Since I knew I was going to have a flame, I better just read the directions. And luckily, this directions has the English version in it. And I saw this right here. If the wick becomes charred or burned, extinguish the lamp and allow it to cool completely and trim off the damaged portion and readjust. Sometimes you have to take that burnt part of the wick and cut it off. That's trimming the wick. Another part of trimming the vessel, trimming it, is filling the vessel with oil. By the way, if there's no oil in the vessel, you can't have a flame. Now, you can light that wick. It's not going to burn properly. It's going to smoke and smolder is all it's going to do. Then you have to light the wick. Then you have to adjust the wick to get it to burning its brightest without causing all the smoke and everything. That's what you have to do. The wick, folks, is who you and I are. They trimmed their lamps. Trim, the word trim means this. It means to place in order, to decorate, adorn, or garnish. That's what the word trimmed means. In verse number 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Sometimes, folks, in life, we're like this wick right here. On the end of it, it gets burnt and black and needs to be trimmed up. Sometimes in life, we have to take a look at our life, and there may be some things we need to trim and cut out so our light will burn right. There are some questions you can ask yourself to know whether you need to trim your wick. Am I living with unconfessed sin in my life? Listen, it's not going to burn. Our light's not going to burn right if we got unconfessed sin. Number 2, am I living a life that is not pleasing to God? If our life's not pleasing to God, the flame's not going to burn right. Am I reading God's word and praying and praising Him daily? We're getting back to that singing thing again, aren't we? Yeah. I love singing. And I guarantee you, I've won some Dove Awards when I sing by myself. I guarantee you, I've won some Dove Awards when I sing by myself. Amen. Amen. There we go. All right. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I love to sing. But listen, I don't sing well, but I love singing. Sometimes I go to bed at night, and I'll turn on my phone. I got that app on my phone. It's called Spotify. You can find all kind of singing on Spotify. And I'll turn it. If I'm having trouble sleeping at night, if I'm disturbed about something, I'll get that Spotify, turn that thing on, and I'll find me some gospel music on there and play it, and it won't be long. I'll be singing along with it, and I'll pass out. Number two, you got to fill it with oil. Now, here's a question to ask. Are you surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Everywhere in Scripture in the Old Testament, when you see something about sacrifice, it was always a lamb or an ox or an animal that they would bring to the tabernacle, and they would cut that animal's throat and bleed it out as a sacrifice. That animal was dying. But here you find where it says in that verse, a living sacrifice. We're to die to self and surrender our life to Jesus Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. It's about surrender to not our will, but to His will. If there's no oil in the lamp, the wick won't light. And then we have to adjust that wick. We have to live the right kind of life that displays the brightest light. I heard a fellow preaching the other day who's talking about fasting. When you hear me say something about this every once in a while, fasting and praying. I'm going to go ahead and blow this out. Now, folks, it's going to burn. You're going to see a lot of smoke, but it'll be all right. It's out. That way we're safe, okay? Fasting and praying. Fasting is a vital part of praying. Fasting is not about us getting something from God or getting Him to do something. It's about us getting to the place where we can hear what He's trying to tell us. You need to figure out what to do to, as far as fasting. It means being given something up. Usually fasting involves food. And it's tough. I like to eat. I don't like giving up food. So when I'm fasting, giving up food is a big part of me fasting, because I'm really giving something up because I like to eat. Now Moses, he fasted. Three different times he fasted for 40 days. I think it even says he neither did eat nor drink for 40 days, three times. He was over 80 years old when he did that, when going up on the mountain and spending time with the Lord. It says when he came down off the mountain, he had spent so much time with God up there on the mountain that when he came down off the mountain, the people couldn't look at his face because his face shined so bright. He had to put a veil over his face when he was down with the people. When he went back up on the mountain, he took the veil off. Now, listen, I'm not going to say in this day and age that we need to fast 40 days without food and water. That'd be tough. And see, we're not as healthy as Moses was. He could do it at over 80 years old. I couldn't do that. But fasting is a vital part of praying, and it's what we need to do. My brother-in-law, who passed away some years ago, he fasted for 25 days. Now, it's very important that we fast. I believe it's a vital part of it, and we need to put it in our life if we're going to be what God wants us to be. And if we want God to speak to us, we need to fast along with praying. I want you to see, here's something I want you to see. Good people are not always the wisest. In our text, it says there was 10 virgins. Now that tells me these are good people. These are honest people. 10 of them. But it also says 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Being wise has nothing to do with being smart. Smart people do dumb things all the time. Being wise has to do with doing and making right decisions. Look what they did. Verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They didn't have, this has got oil in it, but they took their lamp that they had and took no oil. The bridegroom was, and they were busy working. They were busy doing something, but they had no oil. The wise virgins, they had oil in the right place at the right time, and when they needed it the most. You see, the bridegroom, all ten of them were busy. They were waiting on the bridegroom to show up. They were working for him. They were planning for the day the bridegroom would come. But then it says they slumbered and slept. They all did. They kind of got all relaxed. But then it says at midnight, the bridegroom came. So those five virgins that didn't have oil, they said to the ones that had oil, give us of your oil, because we don't have any. The foolish had no oil to see what was going on at night. They said, share with us of your oil. They had nothing to show that these virgins had bought any. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself now. They said, share with us your oil. Listen, folks, our salvation experience is a personal experience. You can't share in somebody else's salvation. It's your own. Now, these 10 virgins that had oil, this shows, this with the oil, remember, the Holy Spirit is, the oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. They had oil in their vessel. The other 5 didn't have oil, no Holy Spirit. That's like a lost church member. Recently, I heard this. The greatest detriment to the Christian faith is unregenerated church members. Lost. Never been saved. Those are the ones that cause the most problems. Those are the ones that don't like what's going on down at the church and want to change things. Look back at Matthew chapter 7. Now remember, in verse 11 of our text, afterward came also the other virgins, the ones that had no oil. They came saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Look at chapter 7, verse 21. Now this is Jesus speaking. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father. Now hold your place right there. Keep that place right there and turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3. What is the will of my Father? What is he talking about? 2 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse number 9. Now here we're going to find out what the Lord's will is. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the will of the Father is that every person be saved. In other words, that every person get filled with the Holy Spirit when they get saved and have oil in their vessel. Now turn back to a chapter of Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me at that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What's he saying? He's talking about people that depend on their works to get them into heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. And folks, there's people in churches all over this country that are dependent on their works to get them into heaven, and they're not going to get there, and they're church members. And it's the biggest problem in the Christian faith is that a lost church member is out there. They're the ones, these church members are the ones that think they can do whatever. They got their fire insurance paid up. Now I can go do anything and get away with anything, and I'm okay. In other words, you can go out and live. They think they can go and live like the devil on Saturday night and come to church, and everything's just fine. If there's no Holy Spirit, folks, you're lost. And I hope and pray there's nobody here like that today. You can't depend on your works to get you to heaven. Well, then why do we work? To show that we are saved. Because God's put a burden on our heart. When we got saved, he's given us a burden to serve him and work for him and live for him. That's why. They had not, and by the way, when those five virgins went away to go buy oil, when they came back, there's nothing in Scripture that says they bought any oil or came back with oil. They went away empty looking and came back empty. Now lastly, who is the light? I knew somebody was going to say that. Look at John chapter 8. That's okay. That's just what we needed here. And he's right. But there's more to it. Who is the light? Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen? All right. Now, turn back to John chapter 1 in our Bible reading. John chapter 1. Now look here. You're going to see something here. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. That's a big L, light. That's Jesus. That all men might through him, that's Jesus, might believe. He was not that light, talking about John, but was sent to bear witness of the light, Jesus. And that was the true light, Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, turn to John chapter 5. Jesus had some things to say about John the Baptist. Look at verse number 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He, talking about John, was a burning and a shining light. Ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now he's calling John a light. Now stay with me. Just stay with me. Turn back. Turn to Matthew chapter number 5. He said John was a light. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now we know Jesus is the light. He said so. Then he says John was a light. Now he's saying ye, talking about us, all of us, are a light. Listen, here it is. John was a reflection of the capital L-I-G-H-T. We are a reflection of that true light. The light that we have is not our own. It is the light of Jesus. We are not to hide his light. We are to share his light in a world of darkness. We are at the midnight hour. The bridegroom is on his way. It's time to work and shine. For Jesus, our light is to bear witness that Jesus is the Son of God. Remember that John said about him, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." How's your light this morning? Does it bear witness of Jesus? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I hope and pray that the light we bear is the light that you've put inside of us, that Holy Spirit lit burning inside of us. We're to bear your light. We're the light of the world. And we're going to have to be a reflection of you. That means we have to spend time with you. Moses had a reflection on his face. And it was you. I've read of some of these old preachers. They could walk into the presence of people that didn't even know them. And people would cry out because of your presence that was on that man or on that woman. They would cry out in repentance to you. And there were just people walking in there that showed up. It's because the light that they reflected was you. Oh, that we could have people today in this age that would reflect you. And I pray we'd be that way. But I also pray, if someone here doesn't know you, would they come to you so that they could have the oil of the Holy Spirit inside of them? And their light begin to reflect you. We pray in Jesus' name.